section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A WWE commentator is released. CM Punk has one goal, and we give our review of Impact Live. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Matt Stryker has been released. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, he apparently they had no use for him anymore, which, you know, let's be honest, they weren't really doing a whole lot with him anyway. He was a SmackDown commentator for a while. And I actually kind of like Matt Stryker. One of the things that I like about him is he reminds me a little bit of a younger Mike Tenay. He actually called moves what they were. I remember one time where Wade Barrett did Abyss's Black Hole Slam, and he called it that. There was another time where when Daniel Bryan returned, Daniel Bryan did the Cattle Mutilator. Cattle Mutilation, sorry. And he called it that. And I remember it was like Jerry Lawler was like, "What are you talking about?" And Matt Stryker even commented on that, saying that he was very happy that now he gets to call moves what they actually are. And so kudos to him. I actually do hope he goes to TNA or Ring of Honor. I hope he goes to a major promotion because he could help out in that commentary area.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I really was surprised about, because he actually talked about you know, did he have beef with Jerry Lawler? And he actually went into detail about it. He said no. He said that in the WWE, you're talking to, you know, like 10-year-olds, and you need to basically tell them, oh, this is the move, this is the move. You know, he can't say this is a form of a cutter. He can't say this is a form of, you know, a side slam. Like, certain words he cannot use. But, yeah, like the Black Hole Slam, I remember that. I was very surprised they let him go because he was so good. Maybe he'll come back after a while because they said he has no hard feelings with the WWE. But the weird part was that recently he actually went to a show, did commentating on it, and he also wrestled, which was very interesting because don't most WWE wrestlers have a 90-day clause where they can't do anything? But he was able to, so I thought that was really
interesting. On air, basically, it's the 90-day no TNA clause, let's be honest here. But speaking of TNA, Andy, their contract was renewed with Spike TV.
This is a big deal because after going to the Impact show, it's one of those things, like, I can see why they renewed it, because it is bringing money into Impact, which I think is pretty cool. But it's nice to see that TNA will be around. I think it's a 5-year deal, if I'm correct. So it's nice to see that they're going to be around for a while. Also, one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick is I thought it was really interesting is there was a big rumor going on that the Briscoe brothers from Ring of Honor are going to be coming to WWE because there was a quote saying they're going to see greener pastures, which I thought was really interesting. Also, I want to point something out with Ring of Honor, which I was very shocked that they're doing this, is that they are no longer going to have IPPVs. They're just going to have straight live and then on demand. And then DVD releases, which I thought was really interesting. But anyways, let's move on to WWE wrestling this week. So we had CM Punk and Paul Heyman had a talk. And what really was going on with this, Aaron?
So Paul Heyman comes out and he says, all right, CM Punk, let's talk. Punk, first of all, great psychology by both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You really... It was really big deal. It was like watching a real show where two people who were having an issue were talking about it. And, you know, almost like a Sopranos or something like that, where, you know, Heyman's going to stab him in the back. And as a wrestling fan, I know that that's going to happen, but I'm still very interested and still very invested in it. And so I think that the segment overall was really good. Basically, at the end of it, Punk forgave Heyman, saying, oh, I knew that it wasn't you that did that necessarily. But you know that there's going to be a big swerve coming up here pretty soon. So I liked it. I'm assuming you probably liked it as well.
Yeah, I just watched that segment today, and because I was waiting for the whole thing where you were talking about CM Punk said he had one goal, which I thought was pretty cool, knowing that the Hawks won the Stanley Cup. I thought that was, and he's a big Hawk fan, and I thought the fact that he said that to me was like, oh, that's awesome. But this entire segment, even when he faced what do they call Darren Young? What is it? No Days Off Darren Young or something like that. But when he faced Darren Young, and then, of course, Titus O'Neil came in, and then Paul Heyman brings Curtis Axel out to make the save. And Punk was kind of upset about it. Do you think that next week, because they announced that they're going to have the primetime players versus Punk and Axel, what a cool swerve would it be if all three of those guys beat up CM Punk?
I actually think what they should do is have Punk in the entire match and basically dominate, and he doesn't tag in Axel. This is probably what they're going to do anyway.
Right.
And then at the very end, Axel tags himself in, gets the win, and then you have a little more tension. So, but anyway, the other really big story from this past week in WWE was Daniel Bryan, and he got a very decisive victory over Randy Orton by submission.
Yeah, which you don't see Randy Orton tap. I think it's only been a couple of times, but they put on a decent match. I mean, it only went for, let's see, with commercial break, I would say about 18 to 19 minutes the match went. But for free TV, this was pretty good. I was shocked about it. The match was excellent. It ended with him putting the no lock or the yes lock on him. Orton taps. Afterwards, they kind of, you know, Daniel Bryan's all excited about it. And then he, Randy Orton congratulated him on it, which I thought was really interesting. And Orton sold it the entire time, like he really got hurt. Great match for both guys. And actually, kudos to Randy Orton for making Daniel Bryan even look better than what he already is. So,
I agree there, because, I had talked about previous weeks where Ryback and Daniel Bryan looked incredibly credible. And, having Orton do the exact same thing, if they're moving towards a Cena versus Daniel Bryan, I think this is really, really great road to go down for them, because they have built up Daniel Bryan and he's on a collision course with John Cena. Andy, let's talk Money in the Bank. On Raw, they announced the participants for the Money in the Bank. And at first I thought that there was only going to be one, and I got really excited because Raw's Money in the Bank is Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian, Kane, and Rob Van Dam. So let's talk about that for a second. I mean, these are like all-stars here, right?
They're all-stars, and it's really weird because usually in these matches you can say, oh, this guy's going to win. You know, you could just basically tell who is going to win Money in the Bank. And in this
or who's not going to win.
Oh, yeah, who's not going to win. But when you look at it, it really could be anybody. I would throw Kane out, but then I started thinking about it. I was like, they could do a Kane thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan actually wins it. He's the one that I think will win it, but I also I have a weird feeling that RVD is going to cost CM Punk the match. That's what I think is going to end up happening.
I think projections would be Daniel Bryan, but at the same time, look, if you want to really elevate Christian, yeah, you give him that briefcase. A returning RVD would be really great too. I mean, all of them. You can make a case for every single one of these participants. So I was really excited. I thought it was only going to be one this year, but then they announced the SmackDown Money in the Bank. And after you hear all these people, you're like, man, who are they going to have for the SmackDown one? And it's Wade Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro, Damian Sandow, and Cody Rhodes. So as we had talked about just a second ago, you know, you can pretty much say, oh, this person's going to win no matter what. SmackDown. I mean, who do you have for that one?
This one's a tough one. I would like to see Damian Sandow win, but I believe that it's going to be Antonio Cesaro, because it's going to be a weird one. You bring him in there, they can have a little feud with him and Swagger, you know, saying Antonio, like, you stole it from me, blah, blah, blah. They could do something like that. But I don't think you give it to Dean Ambrose. I mean, that's the one that it's to me, it's logical he's going to win. But I think it's way too soon because the Shield was so high and they've kind of calmed him down a little bit. Would you be surprised if they just break him away from the Shield? Because he's been the star opposed to Seth Rollins, a.k.a. Tyra Black. Because I thought he would be the star.
He really has been the star. It's one of those things that really surprises me. Because I don't think that he has necessarily the look, but that's a whole nother topic we can get into. I don't think, first off, Fandango, he should not win this. Swagger, same thing. Cody Rhodes, same thing. You know, my picks would be Cesaro. I agree with you there. And then Sandow would be my second one. Those would be my two picks. But realistically, I just want to throw out, this seems like a mid-card group.
Yes,
like this. This seems like the King of the Ring matchups is what this seems like. It does not seem like somebody who is going for a world championship. And that's the biggest problem. We've been saying it for years now. We've been doing the show for 3 years. And look, Money in the Bank, if you want to make it special, you give it to one person. Because otherwise on Raw, you're going to see two people walking out every single week with the Money in the Bank briefcase. That's what's going to end up happening. And that's going to get boring. So somebody has to cash it in right away. So that's why I think that Brian he'll go and say, I'm going to face you at SummerSlam. And then he won't walk around with it. And then Cesaro will be walking around with the briefcase for the next, you know, 6 months or whatever. So I got to say, I like the route that they're going with a lot of this stuff, but you need to be smart about it and make it special. If there were two Royal Rumbles a year, you wouldn't care. You know, same thing with the Money in the Bank. So, but anyway, now, Andy,
do they cash in the night of Money in the Bank?
No, I doubt it.
The other thing I want to point out is WWE is coming up with a hectic schedule right now. They're going to be doing shows basically from, but when you're listening to a show, they're doing shows straight, and then they're going over to Japan to wrestle too. So they're going to be a busy crew, and you know, especially over 4th of July, usually there's not a lot of wrestling, but they are wrestling big time, but they're not doing it in the States, which I find really weird. But anyway, so let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page and you're going to see a banner for WBShop.com. Just go ahead and remember that coupon code they put out there. Click on it and you're going to save some money at WBShop.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. We also bring in Doug since he was with us. Bound for Glory matches and Open Fight Night were just the combined night. Of course, Magnus gets a big win and, you know.
So yeah, so he got a big win this past week against Kaz. And then the past night, he actually got it against Robert Roode. Of course, we are going to be talking about the past 2 weeks. Last week show, as we talked about at the beginning, we weren't able to cover because there's so much WWE news. So we're doing a little combo here. But Doug, I wanted to ask you, Magnus, what were your thoughts on him? What was the Peoria crowd into him, or how was his presence there?
It was all right. I mean, I think he's still got a way to go, but you know, there was a lot of cheers for him. I know there was a chant for fish and chips, and I think my favorite chant of the night was USA, but...
So they were cheering for Kaz to win, is what you're saying?
No. On the second one, against Roode.
Oh, okay.
You know, the Canadian versus the British people, you know, it's a vicious cycle of fighting, and we should all root for America in that one.
I agree. Good call.
But yeah, who did Kaz? I can't now. I'm trying to remember who Kaz fought.
No, Kaz fought Magnus.
Oh, that's right. Magnus. That's yeah. Right. And he gets the big one off him. That's right. Yeah, because we were shouting USA. I forgot about that. And then Robert Roode as well, which I thought was really interesting.
So there was one of the other really big Bound for Glory series matches was AJ and Samoa Joe. And this one actually ended in a draw. And I know, of course, people were chanting one more minute, you know. But the match overall, first of all, to be able to even see it live. Doug, what did you think of that?
If I was to ever watch one match, like if you were to tell me that, I know, or go in knowing that wrestling is quote-unquote fake, and after watching that match, they beat the living hell out of each other. It looked incredibly real. I know at one point I think AJ Styles even had a bloody nose. Samoa was it Samoa bleeding from the mouth too, or
no? Yeah, I believe so.
I don't think actually. You know what? You're right. I know AJ got cut like in his nose area, which is really interesting.
But those, when they were hitting each other, it looked like and sounded like they were hitting each other. It didn't look fake at all. It almost looked like there was a real match going on and now, really beating the hell out of each other.
One thing also that did happen in that match, Samoa Joe did clock AJ by complete accident because the ref told him to move away for a little bit, and AJ went straight to the corner, and he was like dazed a little bit. Then they continued the match. But you could still see after that, it took a few moves before he actually got back. Because Samoa did tag him once, and you heard it from where we were actually.
And where exactly were you guys sitting?
We were Andy? We're not where the cameras were. We were either four or five rows back. It just depended because we'll talk about that later in the weekly topic. But we fluctuated from the fourth row to the fifth a couple of times. So we had really good seats.
Okay. And then one of the other big matches from this past Thursday was Hardy and Robert Roode, or Bobby Roode. And this one, Hardy actually got the win with that. So, Hardy gets a pretty big win here. We had Magnus get a win, Austin Aries. So there were a lot of pretty huge victories that happened at Open Fight Night's Bound for Glory series. In terms of Hardy, Andy, was he really over?
He was over. We tried to get a certain drug chant going, but it didn't take. But yeah, it was really interesting, the match itself, because when you see it live, then you go back and watch it on TV, what they cut on TV was not much. It was maybe 10 seconds of the match, which I thought was really interesting.
Interesting.
But overall, it was a pretty decent match. What did you think, Doug?
I thought it was a decent match, too. It really seemed like going into that match, I think it was the first and the last match were the only times the challenger won.
Yeah. Mm.
Everybody else who challenged ended up losing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But yeah, overall for the first show, it was pretty interesting. And then they did an explosion match. We had to put up seeing Jesse for the second time.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was bad. Just the fact that he was there, it's like, why did... Because he was actually out there three times. It's like, okay, two explosion matches, and then he came out when all the Divas came out. Or the Knockouts, I'm sorry, when they came out.
Did he come... No, because Tara wasn't with all the Knockouts.
Oh, she wasn't?
He came out and faced against Gunnar and James Storm.
That's right, because Gunnar came out with him. Robbie E did.
Yeah,
that's right. My bad. So I was trying to figure out how he came out three times, and I thought that was it. But yeah, he showed up. Yeah.
To get back though to the storyline aspect that happened this past Thursday, Doug, I wanted to ask you about the main event Mafia. So Sting, the previous weeks he was talking about bringing the band back together, and then it turns out Kurt Angle is a part of it to end last Thursday's, and then this Thursday we found out that Samoa Joe is also part of it. What did you think of that those segments overall?
Honestly, I had a different and just an entire different expectation for this, because when Sting said that nobody came out to help him, I was really expecting somebody new to be in the Mafia, like new to even TNA. I mean, why would you rely on the roster that abandoned you against Aces and Eights? So I was hoping for somebody new to come back from TNA or somebody that wasn't with him when he got beat up, and then you throw in, I mean, it's like Kurt Angle is like, okay, you have your two Hall of Famers in there, and then Samoa Joe, it's like both those guys could have came out and helped Sting during the pay-per-view. Neither of them did. So why all of a sudden I had a different expectation, but I am happy. I'd like Samoa Joe. I hope this helps boost him up in the company and gets him back in title run. Big fan of Kurt Angle. He's always entertaining. Always puts on some of the best matches ever. So it'll be. I do like the group. If this is what they're going to go with it for people inside TNA, I do like the group overall.
Okay, cool. Now I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick, Doug. Last week or the week before, we had talked about who our final four are going to be in the Bound for Glory series. So I got to ask you, who do you think the final four will be?
The final four are going to be Kennedy, Magnus. You know what? Let's go with Jeff Hardy. And I'm really not sure on my fourth one.
Can you throw AJ in there? Or Roode?
Or Aries?
I'm not going to throw Roode. I mean, I'll be honest. To see Roode lose twice is absolutely amazing. Austin Aries, I don't see him getting very far in this one either, just because of the surprise ending of the second or this last show. You know, he's got his title shot now.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
So, okay. So you got, it sounds like you have an idea though of who you are expecting. Andy, biggest swerve, which you had posted on the Twitter account.
I was surprised. And when Suicide came out, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. Cause to me, okay, where we were sitting, the mask that Suicide wears, there was just enough where you could see the color of the guy's skin, and it was white. And I was like, I thought TJ is, you know, like Japanese or Chinese. I didn't realize he was white. So that's what I thought the entire time. So then when the match was going on and, you know, all of a sudden Suicide wins, and I was like, what the heck? And then Hogan comes out and says, hey, this is the guy who's been playing Suicide, which I was like, wait a minute. No, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian's been playing Suicide. This guy just came on. That really actually, see, this is twice now TNA has done this in the last month where they've taken something that you're not supposed to let people know about, like the character who's under the mask. It's like if they brought Sin Cara out and then demasked him, you know, just because. They
like El Generico.
Yeah, like El Generico. That's the business. Like, why do that? That's what, and they did this too. I was like, okay, so first they did the ring, now they did this. I was like, this is kind of weird. Why would you, you know, even want to attempt something like this? But they did, and then, you know, he ran away. And at first I was like, why did Bully Ray come out? And I couldn't figure that out either. And it made, and then I realized, then they said something like, because he gets touted, you know, a shot at my title on July 18th. And I was like, oh, that's right. That's right, because you can cash it in. And then all of a sudden he revealed himself, and then bam, it's Austin Aries. And I was like, what? I was like, that is a swerve. I was like, wow, this second show is better than the first. And I couldn't believe I could say that. Mm-hmm. But they, I mean, yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
I was going to say, yeah, obviously really big surprise, you know, especially for taping. You know, that's one of those that I don't understand why that would tape. But Doug, I want to ask you what your thoughts are on giving the title to Saban and then taking it off of him less than a month afterwards. Do you think that's a smart move, even to give Aries the title shot?
I will tell you one thing. This is, you know, it was something they could have ran with. To do the fact that Suicide wins it and then unmasked all in the same episode, I thought was a little strange. But to bring TJ out also, I was like, man, it really feels like the old days of WCW when Jericho kept unmasking luchadors. And it's like, you know what? I almost would prefer not knowing who Suicide was. And then I thought the just even the dialogue between Bully Ray Hogan and then having Aries talk as Suicide, I thought that was just a little, I don't know, lackluster, until all of a sudden then, yeah, you see it's Aries and it's like, oh, all right, now it picked up a little bit. Now we have an actual, you know, really good match for Ultimate X, or not Ultimate X. What is
Destination X.
Destination X. So I was happy with the overall ending of it, but then it seemed like, hey, that's something they could have gone all the way to Destination X with, not knowing who Suicide was, and then have all of a sudden, you know, at Destination X, Suicide comes out and reveals that it's Austin Aries or something.
Interesting. Actually, I kind of like that idea. Well, that's why I think that we should be writers for TNA or for WWE, because we come up with better stories.
Well, here's the problem I have with the storyline. Suicide won it, not Austin Aries. Because remember when Dean Malenko did that thing back in WCW? He unmasked first.
Mm-hmm.
Juventud Guerrero tapped. Well, you know what? That's the other thing. Juventud tapped him, jumped over the thing, ripped out the mask, said it was Dean Malenko, and then Jericho ended up getting the title back because he won it as whatever his name is.
Ciclo Play, I think, was his
name.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, but that's because they had a funny segment on Nitro the night afterwards where Jericho was pulling out law books and saying, no, according to Rule 9, Section 8, you know, it turns out that you cannot do this. It was something like that. I'm sure that TNA, they're probably not going to go down that road. But Andy, it sounds like that you didn't like the segment then.
No, I did. It's just that it made me mad that I just didn't put two and two together, because even during the match, he didn't do like the Spider-Man gimmick where, like, you know, he's swinging to the ropes and he just kind of stay there.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and I thought that was kind of weird. And then the fact that I was like, I thought the dude was, you know, tan, not, you know, white. That also kind of, and like putting it together, being there, it makes sense. But I was more upset because like as like a wrestling smark, like you would think that you would realize that stuff, but you didn't put two and two together. And it's just one of those weird situations. Plus, you know, Austin Aries is so much shorter than Daniels or Kazarian, because I was trying to figure out if it was one of them instead. But of course, it was TJ. Or it was supposed to be TJ, as you can say.
I gotta say, I do think it's a disappointment that this was Tate, because most people are gonna read about it and then it's like, oh, man, I would have much rather been very surprised to find that out.
Or someone maybe put it on YouTube already and they already know what the ending is going to look like.
Now, Andy, we want to move on to our weekly topic for you and Doug to talk about the experience, the VIP treatment.
Okay.
You guys got. So, Andy.
Let me first explain what VIP treatment is. There's two types and you have to look very carefully. There's the one that you get from TNA. Now, if you want to do the true VIP where you get the backstage stuff, you want to order from TNA, shoptna.com. That's where you want to get it at, just to point that out. If you get it from Ticketmaster, you get the thing called the Knockout Zone. Now, I actually got, by the way, I talked to TNA Wrestling. It actually shows up on my caller ID as TNA Wrestling, by the way. They're in Tennessee, of all things. And believe it or not, like, I got a couple phone calls from them because we were relaying stuff back and forth. We want to find out what exactly is going on. Well, anyways, we get to the show. We get there, I thought, late. Doug, did you think that we got there late?
No, not too late.
I mean, we got there just right a little after 6, but the doors weren't open yet. And that's also, we had a great parking spot, by the way. I just wanted to point that out. We got a great parking spot because from where we parked to get into the place, it took less than 5 minutes to walk there, which was pretty cool. But yeah, we got all the way down to the floor, and it was interesting because there was tables set up for the VIP experience, and what we got was we got burgers, hot dogs, stale chips, cookies. Am I missing? And pop and water as well. Yep. But yeah,
it popcorn.
Popcorn. That's right. Man, I need some popcorn. Whew. But yeah, by the way, if you get this, make sure that they don't put the chips out like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and let them sit for another 3 or 4 hours for them to get really, really stale. But yeah, that was one of the worst things when the first two chips you had, you're like, these are pretty good. And then you bite into that other one and it's all soggy and stale and you're like, ugh. Anyways, but yeah, so it was kind of cool that they offered the free food. They could have done with the bigger buns. They could have gave us smaller ones, but hey, it's just food. But we ended up sitting at the table. And then we found out afterwards, because we were the only ones sitting at the tables, besides two other guys, that you could go up and sit in the first, they said the first three rows. Or with rows 2 and 3, which we ended up sitting like in the fourth and then also the fifth. So, I mean, it was that part of it was pretty interesting. Doug, we got to meet some of the Knockouts. So what did you think about that?
I thought that was pretty interesting. I kind of wish there was a couple of times when they brought out Knockouts where it's like I'd almost rather watch the match. Like, they brought them out during AJ versus Samoa Joe. And I think even the Knockout that we had at the time even said, I'd rather watch the match.
Yeah,
I thought that was a little.
Was it ODB? I think they brought out that time, and you're like, why aren't we watching the match? And then we were like one of the first people online, and I was like, oh geez. And by the way, the girl who kept taking pictures for us, horrible. Every picture that I have is just horrible.
I'll have to give you some of mine because I agree. She couldn't figure out a zoom.
Exactly. It's like you couldn't like move the lens a little bit or step back a foot.
Yeah.
Ugh. But I mean, like, the ones I took of Dave and of you came out great.
Yeah.
It's just the ones that of me came out crappy, but oh well.
I do have a couple pictures of you, so I'll get you those.
Excellent. But yeah, I got about just under 3 gigs of pictures that I took with my camera phone and also my DSLR. But it was pretty It was pretty cool, though, meeting the Knockouts. We met Gail Kim was the first one, which I ironically told my wife earlier. I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, I'd like to meet some, but I'd like to meet Gail Kim and ask, how often does your husband work out? Because he's the guy who does Restaurant Impossible, and he's like, you know, jacked. So I was going to jokingly ask her that. She was first, then I think it was ODB, and then Mickey James came out as well. Which, Doug, what happened to the other guy that was with us when he got his picture taken with Mickey James?
Whether this is fully true or not, I did, Dave apparently got his ass groped by Mickey James.
Now in her defense, she explains she was messing with her hair and something happened. And I was like, what just happened? Because Doug was just talking with Mickey James about What did she say to you? And
she was asking me if we were the ones starting the random chant, and I said, "Well, we're trying to, yes." So she started talking to me. She's like, "Well, when I come out, we need to chant, like MJ or Let's Go Mickey or something like that." And it's like, oh, "Yeah, we can try that, sure."
Well, see, that was happening, and then Doug, Dave did something, jumped, what the heck? One of those things, and then she said something to him and, said something, and then she kind of put her head on his shoulder, and I took a picture of that. And then he goes, "She just grabbed my ass." And I was like, "Bullsh." You know, I was like, "No way, she did not just do that. She didn't grab your butt." And he goes, "No, she did." And then I looked at the picture, and he said what happened, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is true." He wasn't kidding. She actually got a fistful of him. So of course we go.
Did he faint afterwards? Is what
no,
I would like
but
to know.
But he had a smile on his face when we went home. he was really cool.
And I'm kind of curious. So the meet and greet, did that happen in between
the matches the were going on, dude? Like, see here, you know, I could go into detail. The one thing that I will say about going to TNA, I mean, the experience was cool. I mean, there were shots of us on TV a bunch of times. You got to see my hat that was turned backwards with the red bill. You got to see Doug a bunch as well. And then Dave a couple times here and there as well. I mean, it was little things, but it was always the wide shots. The other thing also, I don't have the attendance numbers yet. Ironically, I'll probably have them tomorrow. But there was nowhere near 3,000 people there. I was told that they had 3,000 at one point. I was told once by the Civic Center, one of the people for their VIP, they jokingly said, "I thought it was canceled," which says something. But there was nowhere near 3,000 people there. Plus, they were doing tickets $40. That was kind of weird. But, you know, I know I'm going all over the place here, but it was really cool seeing it live. And the fact that the shows were, both of them were good, because, you know, wrestling lately, it's been like, "Oh, this is horrible. This is horrible." And then all of a sudden, Doug saw Payback, which you're like, "Wow, that was a really good show." Then Raw happened. You're like, "Wow, that was a good Raw." Ironically, main event when SmackDown were pretty good, and then you go see Impact Wrestling, and you're like, "Wow, this is pretty good as well." It's almost been like this, you know. Last week, the entire week was great wrestling.
Nowhere to go but down, is what.
It's just going to go straight down from here. but overall, I mean, the experience there was pretty cool. Me and the Knockouts, you know, it was pretty cool. We met also SoCal Val and Taryn Terrell, which, by the way, Taryn Terrell during her match lost a hair extension, which was hilarious. I thought was pretty funny. And then after that match, she came out and then did that. But my biggest beef, with the whole thing that happened there, was the fact that the disorganization, from TNA, you would think that they would take a hold of, you guys are the VIP Knockout area. Okay. So you guys are, this is when they're coming out. They're going to come out during both Explosion matches, which you would think they would do in between the shows. So then you can meet all the Knockouts, not during the show, because when we went back during the Samoa Joe AJ Styles match, you could see there was no one in our row because we all went back. The other thing also is that if you just had a VIP ticket, you got a wristband, and it was supposed to be only the people who were with the Knockout zone. So that was the other thing that I was like, "This is really weird," but oh well.
So I have two last big questions for you guys. Doug, you went to a TNA house show with me out here in Seattle, and Andy, you and I went to TNA in Florida. Doug, what was your experience this versus the house show? Obviously, this being live was a lot better, but you know, how would you compare the two?
excuse me. The house show I enjoyed. It was very well done. Put on some great matches. Seeing them actually taking beer from the crowd was hilarious. And the fact that there were no commercial breaks, it just went a smooth show. You went there and you enjoyed a show. Here, you know, yeah, they take a little pause to set something up, set up the cameras right, or get the next segment going. And, you know, it kind of took away from it a little bit, but you get that with all the shows that are taped and everything. It's kind of why I like going to the pay-per-views, because it is a constant flow a little bit more.
Okay.
But, and then, go ahead.
And then, Andy, what did you think? We saw it, a taping. It was it was live. It was 2 hours long. This one was, you know, 4 hours. You know, what did you think the difference?
Well, I don't want to point out, but it was actually about 2 hours and 15 minutes, the one we saw. But the one thing that was interesting, I will say, if you compare WWE, or I guess to just the experience in Orlando to this experience, they opened up the ring so you couldn't get in the ring. That was one rule. But like, I got a picture of Doug sitting on the ring and then one of him being on the steps with his arms in the air. That was interesting because, hey, you wouldn't expect to be able to, because WWE says no every time, and we actually got a picture of each one of us right by the ring, which was pretty cool. But overall, I will say the one in Orlando, it seemed like it was better organized, and I thought that show was okay. But that was also the night Velvet Sky came back, which I was kind of pumped about. And in this one, there was so much good wrestling in it that even the women's matches were really good. And even the Explosion matches, ironically, were actually pretty good as well. So overall, you know, I will say that I still enjoyed the Orlando one a little bit more. But, you know, to each his own.
And then, Doug, two last questions. When we went, we got our picture taken with the Hardy Boys. Was there an opportunity to do that here?
No, there was no opportunity this time. And that's a little sad. I was kind of hoping for that last, you know, take a picture with them or something like that. But
And something to point out, the last three that I went to two house shows out here in Seattle, and then Andy and I went to the one in Orlando. And all three times I got to get my picture taken with a TNA star. So I'm kind of surprised that they didn't do it there. But Doug, last question I want to ask for you. So this year you've been to the Royal Rumble, you've been to Extreme Rules, Payback, and a TNA house show. Two in the span of a week.
It was a live taping.
How would you rank these?
What was that?
How would you rank these?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say the Royal Rumble is number one. I don't know if it might be just the prestige of it all, just because it is the Royal Rumble.
And it's a pay-per-view, too.
It's a pay-per-view. It's a bucket list kind of thing. I'm going to have to put Payback above Extreme Rules. But where I put TNA, I mean, the overall experience of going to TNA and having the VIP treatment, although it was only half of what I thought it was, because when they said VIP treatment, they just listed everything and not half of that. But I'll put TNA even over the Extreme Rules and probably on par with Payback.
Wow.
So it sounds then like you guys would give thumbs up to, if you have a chance to go to a TNA taping, definitely do the VIP treatment then?
I don't know. I think I know Andy and I talked about this after the show, but we were kind of on the lines of just get the closer seats. I mean, it would have cost less. I loved meeting the Divas, but it wasn't like it was get your picture taken and have a brief second to talk with them. It wasn't like, hey, let me ask you, a Q&A with them. Mm-hmm. I really was expecting to meet Sting. I really wanted to meet Sting. My buddy Carl that went with us, we were going to try to reenact the scene from Ready to Rumble. Boy, you love Billy Keane. I love Billy Keane. We're guys, and we can say that we love Billy Keane. And then he gets hit, and then my buddy was going to step up and say, me too, me too.
Yeah, actually, I told Doug, I mean, one thing you could do is that if you get printed tickets, realistically, all you have to do is show, like, make copies of that one if you really wanted to, because they weren't checking. That was the messed up part. They weren't making any marks on your tickets or anything. And, like, we had hard tickets, so, like, they saw it and they're like, okay, but I could have just got a ringside seat, spent a ton, and just bought one VIP pass, and then we could have split a bunch of four people and gone back there.
That's hilarious.
That's the disorganization they had.
Now, but we don't condone that.
Don't condone that. Yeah, don't do that, kids. Yeah. But yeah, so overall, I mean, it was a good experience. Definitely, you know, if you want the ringside seats, pay the I think it's like $75 to do that. Or if you want to meet the Knockouts, which, you know, one of the guys with us, Doug or Dave, that's the one thing he wanted to do, and he said that was worth it. He said that was definitely worth the extra money to do so. So
cool.
But yeah, so overall, yeah, definitely a good show, and we will definitely, I think that if we, you know, if they come around to this area again, which I doubt they will, I'd like to go one more time just to see it. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you'd follow the show at @AuthTheMarkHit6. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and aiding the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.